We've been in ministry for over 20 years. We've taken part in 13 church plants. We've just started our 13th church plant beginning of the year in St. Albans. And we have four children. Our son is 23. He's in university right now. Our daughter's 17. She's just doing her A-levels now, final year. Our other daughter is 10. She's in year 6, last year of junior primary school. And our son is 8, Zachary Zion. So that's our little family, and we're based in St. Albans. It's a real privilege and a real honor to be here today and to be able to minister and to just share the love of God, the grace of God, the truth and the power of the Word of God, because this Word is able to transform our lives. It is able to build us up. It is able to bring healing. It is able to bring transformation. It is able to bring wisdom. It is wisdom. It is able to bring the solutions that we need. And that is what I believe by the end of this conference, we should leave and say, I went to that conference in Bedford in 2018, and that was a turning point for me on that day. I declare that today, by the grace of God, today is a turning point for each and every one of us. Amen. Amen. We've got to activate our faith. Amen. When your faith is alive, that is when the power of God flows. That is when miracles happen. That is when great things happen. The Bible says that when Jesus was ministering, there were some places that he could do no miracles because of their unbelief. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So there was no faith in that atmosphere. There was unbelief. There was doubt. There was, what does he know? What does he know? You know, so we've got to activate our faith for us to be able to receive from God. Come on, God can talk through anyone. He can talk through a child. He can talk through a man, through a woman, through a donkey. Come on, God will speak through whomsoever he might choose. So I know that this weekend, God is going to speak and confirm his word and confirm his word to each and every one of us in different areas. It'll be here from the pulpit. It'll be over coffee, a word, something you've been praying and believing God for, where a sister will just say something. We've got to live alert and ready, because the wisdom of God and the answers and the solutions will come sometimes from a direction and a route you least expected. So activate your faith today. Let's just bow our heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless your name and I praise you. I thank you that you are God and that you're good. I thank you, Father, that you are sovereign. You are worthy of all the glory and of all the honor. You are majestic and you are majesty. We exalt your marvelous name today. We thank you, Father, for your presence, which we carry, Father. We are carriers of your glory, Father. You chose to put your glory in earthen vessels, Almighty God. We thank you for your presence, for your indwelling spirit. We thank you, Father, for the love of your Son, Jesus. We thank you that we stand here redeemed and righteous and sanctified. I thank you that we stand in this place today. We are free, and free indeed, because your word says that he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We bless your name and we just say, Father, have your way. Have your way. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. In Jesus' precious name. And everyone says, amen, amen. Amen. Praise God. This wonderful theme, Pastor Dawn, you broke it down so well. I was like, oh my goodness, thank you so much for that. Thank you for the teaching and laying such an amazing foundation, because I learned a lot as well as I sat there. Thank you so much. Because I sat there and I said, look at God. Look at God. Thank you so much, ma'am. Thank you so much. So she read Proverbs 31:10 to 2:31. And when I looked at this woman of substance and grace that Pastor Dawn has already, you know, she spoke about wisdom, and she spoke about what this scripture is talking about, this passage of scripture is talking about. When I looked at it, I realized there were some things that I picked out. If you were looking at this passage as a person, because like she said, so many of us have always thought it's a person. But I know these women. I don't know, you know, maybe someone here has got all the qualities, but I've met people in my life with these different qualities. With these different qualities. And substance speaks of depth. It speaks of gravitas. Gravitas is, have you ever seen some people who just have this thing? They just have an authority over them. You meet them and there's just an authority over them. That is a person of gravitas. And it is a person of substance. Substance speaks of worth. It speaks of depth. Substance has got a weight to it. So for us this weekend as women of substance and grace, we are women with gravitas. We are women with depth and weight to us. We are women of worth. Amen. Grace speaks of elegance and confidence. It speaks of another way, it's the way, normally when we hear the word grace, for me it's a woman, the way she carries herself. Have you ever met some people who are so graceful in the way that they carry themselves? Grace is a beautiful word. So we are women of substance, depth, gravitas. We are women of elegance and confidence. When I looked again at the meaning and the depth of the scripture, I realized that for us to be women of substance and grace, we've got to learn to depend on God. When you read the scripture and you break it down, the different qualities that are listed in Proverbs 31 verses 10 to 31, it speaks of she has a vineyard. She sows, she knits, she sells, she trades, she invests. It speaks of a businesswoman. She brings peace and goodness to her husband. She is discerning in her investments. She is a strong and hard worker. I heard about the early rising. I fail on that in that department as well, you know. But I'm here to learn. She is an early riser. I wake up because I have to take the kids to school, not because I want to. I wake up because I have to go to work, not because I want to, you know. So some people are morning people. You know, my husband Jamie is a morning person. You know, you'll be fast asleep at 5:30 and you hear the bed vibrating, he's shaking his leg. Who shakes their leg at 5:30 when you're fast asleep and you're trying to have your last dream? And I wake up and the bed is shaking and I'm like, you're awake! You're awake! For me, that's like the last window. So she rises early. She uses her creativity to provide for her family. She oversees her husband, her household is in order. She loves God. She loves others. And she pours into her community. She is resourceful. Using all her giftings and talents, she is an asset to her husband, children, community, to her church, to her workplace, to her school, wherever she is. She is a wise steward. She is a good manager. She instructs her maid servants. So she knows how to delegate. She knows how to make decisions. She is confident. She is industrious. She is innovative. She is an early riser, astute. She is business savvy. She's at peace with herself and validated in Christ. She lives, you know, in verse 30 it says, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. She lives in the reverential fear of God. And so when I looked at this, I realized that she's a woman of many talents and giftings. And many tributaries flowing out of this person. But the one thing that stuck out after reading verse 30, that she, a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. I realized there's one thing that screamed out to me, and it was the word identity. This woman's identity was sold out to God. Remember, this is Old Testament. This is before the New Covenant. So they didn't worship Jesus then. They prayed to God. They prayed to Yahweh. Yes. So she was a woman of God. She was a godly woman. She had reverential fear of God. She trusted in God. She worshiped God. And that is where her identity comes from. I'm talking about you and I today in this place this morning. Our identity has got to be founded and grounded on God. Many of us are not maximizing our destinies today, ladies. We're not maximizing the giftings and the call of God upon our lives because we're not confident or aware of just who we are in God's grand master plan and God's economy. Ladies, you and I were to die for. You and I were to die for. Jesus came and He died on the cross of Calvary for each and every one of us. He didn't die for a specific people group. He didn't die for a specific color group. He didn't die for a specific education bracket. He didn't die for people who live in a specific postcode. He died for each and every one of us. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He loved the world, each and every one of us. There was no segregation. There was none of that. When you read the Bible in Galatians 3, it goes on to speak that after what Jesus died and did for you and I, He tore down anything that separated us. And then the Bible goes on to say, now there is neither male nor female. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither Greek nor Gentile. So it speaks of nationalities and people groups and sexism and all the different isms that we have in our society today. Jesus Christ came and He died for each and every one of us. And He tore everything that separated us. When God looks at you and He looks at me, He sees beauty in His eyes. So many of us are not maximizing our destinies and our giftings because we're not confident or we're not aware of who we are in Christ Jesus. And who we are in God's grand master plan. We are part of God's grand master plan. When Jesus came and He died and He rose and He ascended, we were left to be an occupying army. He says, occupy till I come. We are the answer for this world. The wisdom of God rests and resides in each and every one of us. We are the answer for our communities. We are the answer for cancers. We are the answer for homelessness. We are the answer for, you name all the depravity that we're dealing with in the world today on a global issue. We are the solution for it. And what we do sometimes, because we have not grasped or gained an understanding of our identity and who we are in Christ Jesus, we pass the buck. No, she looks a little bit more educated than me. She's younger than me, so she's got more energy than I do. Oh no, she's been to university. We pass the buck. But how many of you know that the Word of God says that God is no respecter of persons? All God is looking for is someone who says, here am I, Lord, use me, use me, use me. Use me, Lord, use me. Look no further, God. Look no further, Father. Use me. I'm available, Lord. I'm available. Where you say I go, I'll go. What you say I do, I'll do. What you say I say, give me the courage, Lord, and I will say it. That's all God is looking for today. When your confidence, ladies, and your identity is locked into Christ Jesus, you are solid. You are fixed. You are immovable. You are unshakable. You are resilient through the vicissitudes of life, through the blastings of life, through sickness, through divorce, through being abandoned, through being abused, through being left out. You're never picked to be part of the group. You're never picked to be part of the friend group. You're never picked to be promoted into the next department. And you know you've served your time. You've been in that organization 15 years. You put in your time. You put in overtime. But when it comes time to promotion, they skip you. And so this has happened, and you know what? You begin to allow that to define you, and you begin to allow that to move you. But you know what? When you and I locate ourselves and locate our identity in Christ Jesus, we are resilient. We're like a palm tree. Do you know what a palm tree does? The winds will come. The gale forces will come. The tsunami will come. Everything else will be devastated and raised to the ground for the palm tree. Come on now. The palm tree, when a wind of opposition and a wind of jealousy and the wind of gossip and the wind of whatever it is that's going on in your house comes, you know what? The wind will come thinking that it will flatten the palm tree. The palm tree will bend all the way down and snap back up again. When you and I locate ourselves in the Word of God and in Christ Jesus, we become indomitable. We become indefatigable. We become full of character. You cannot wear a man or a woman who's come into their identity. You cannot wear down a man or a woman who knows who they are in Christ. How many of you have ever seen some people who are just so confident? Someone who just knows who they are. You tell them, you know what, let me give you an example. Let's just pretend that I'm not using anyone because you'll understand. Let's just pretend you are poor. He'll turn around or she'll turn around and say, I'm not poor even in an example. No, don't use your poverty example on me. I know who I am and whose I am in Christ. That's what happens when you know who you are in Christ Jesus and you know your identity. My favorite guy in the Bible, okay, I've got several characters that I love. I love, my ultimate favorite is King David. But my guy is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, the foremost apostle of the New Testament. Paul had his identity fixated, solid, unshakable. Paul will tell you, I've been whipped, I've had to tread water, I've gone hungry, I've been kicked out, I've been, you name it, lied about, you know, all the things that they sing about. I've had all these things done, but none of these things move me. Paul was the new kid on the block. Paul is the last kid to get onto the block. Paul was not on the block when Jesus was walking with his disciples. At the time that Jesus was doing his ministry of 3.5 years, Paul was persecuting the church. So he was that guy. And yet he received a revelation of Christ Jesus that far supersedes the guys who sat next to him, who ate with him, who slept right next to him, who walked to the different districts and places that Jesus walked to. He got a revelation of who Christ is. He had a revelation of Jesus like none other. Paul had a revelation of Christ and redemption and salvation and our status. Our status, our position, our place, our rightful place in Christ that far superseded even the very disciples who hung around and ate with and traveled with Jesus. Colossians 1. My Bible says, feel free to open. Let me slow down a little bit and let's open it because I've got all my scriptures here. But let me slow down because I'm so excited. And I know exactly how you felt, Pastor. I'm just so excited. I've got myself hot now. But let's go to Colossians 1. Let's open it so that you don't think, okay, so Pastor Sarah came here and she taught her own thing. What I'm teaching is in the Word of God. Amen. Praise God. Open your Bibles, open your iThings, open your whatever it is, open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, and we will read 12 and 14. Colossians 1, because we're still talking about the revelation that Christ, that Paul had of Jesus. He says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us. Come on, you've got to see this. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. So think of wherever you were before you knew Christ. Think of the filth. Think of your depravity. Think of how really bad you were. I'm one of those people who always says, I need a savior. I needed a savior. Because when I'm bad, I'm like really bad. I can't do middle ground. I'm that kid at high school who my head teacher told me that, you know what, Sarah, if you see me coming one way, you turn and go another. I just don't want to see your face until the end of school when you have to leave this place. So I don't do middle ground. So this is what God did for us. Paul says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed. Conveying speaks of carrying, transporting, taking, me putting you into my little cart and conveying you, come on now, into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Yes, ma'am. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Saints, you and I, this afternoon we have redemption through the blood of Jesus. We have the forgiveness of every one of our sins. Anything you've done, we have been forgiven. To understand your identity, to truly understand your identity and your standing in Christ Jesus, you have to understand what Christ did for you and for me on the cross of Calvary. You need to know and understand what redemption means. To redeem, in the Greek, the word redeem, the Greek word for it is apolutrosis. It means to buy back. Never to sell again. You and I were slaves to sin and death. So imagine, we've seen the movies and it's in our bloodlines. We've come from that atrocious history where we were at a slave market. This is what to redeem means. Listen to this. So to buy back, never to sell again. You and I were slaves to sin and death. We were in a slave market to sin and death. And Christ came, the Savior, and brought us out of bondage. Not brought. Before He brought, He bought in exchange. He bought us out of bondage into freedom and His love, never to be sold back into slavery again. So apolutrosis, or to redeem, means a release effected by payment of ransom. And we know that ransom was the blood of Jesus. To redeem means to buy, never to be sold into slavery again. Let that sink in. When you and I, the day, how many of you are saved in this house? How many of you said, Lord Jesus, come into my life? The day you were saved, you were redeemed, you were bought at that slave market. Your slavery could have been drugs, it could have been prostitution, it could have been witchcraft and sorcery. You know what your slavery was. Come on now. When you and I were bought, the day we were bought, Christ Jesus, His blood on the cross of Calvary, paid for yours and my sin, paid for yours and my life, paid for us so that we would have a destiny in Christ Jesus. We were predestinated to salvation and to life in God, to be glorified. And so He bought us out of bondage, bought us out of slavery, bought us out of addictions, bought us out of habits, bought us out of wrong thinking. He bought us out of each and every one of those things, never to be sold again. That is why the Bible then goes on to say in Romans chapter 12, it talks about the renewing of the mind. Because you see, it is possible for you to have been bought out of slavery, but if you've still got the same mentality and the stinking thinking from where you were, you know what? You could be free, but still be doing and thinking and behaving in the way you behaved back then. For so many of us, what's happened with salvation, we literally, it's like we step through the door into the kingdom. The door shuts, so darkness has gone. We're not out there. We're not sinners anymore. But we've never walked down to check what's in this great kingdom that we've been allowed. We've just stopped at the door of salvation with our backs to the door. We have not explored the freedom. We have not explored the liberty. We have not explored the identity. We have not explored the love that redemption is. My Bible says to me, one of my favorite scriptures, Galatians 5 and 1. The Bible says it was for freedom that Christ set us free. This is an amplified version, completely liberating us. Therefore, keep standing firm, palm tree. Keep standing firm. And do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery which you once removed. Saints, ladies, gentlemen, to be a person of substance and grace, you have got to understand your identity and who you are in Christ Jesus. You have got to understand that you are free right now. Let me tell you something. An angel is not going to come and hang on the chandelier and say, yay, and again I say, yay, you are free. You are free already. What Jesus did for you and I is complete. It is the full works of Jesus Christ. To understand your identity, you have to know definitively that salvation is not a reward, but it is a gift. Pastors, if I brought you gifts, it's not a reward. A reward is if you had done some service for me, then it's a reward, it's payment. But if I just came here holding gifts you didn't even know, probably you didn't even deserve it. So salvation and our identity is not, salvation is not a reward, but it is a gift of God. The day you wrap your head around that, you'll begin to understand that yours and my sins, past, present, and future, are eternally forgiven. There is nothing you and I on our best day. This could be our best day. You know, I don't get to wear big flowy, so this is the best day for me. You know, nice wig. I knew I was coming here, you know, Mother Vaughn, and I was like, I need to make sure. So I came on my best behavior. Look at that. The whole week I was busted. I said, no, guys. Because my 17-year-old, I said to her, what should I wear? She's like, this. I said, like, no. This is not that kind of place, team. You know? So, you know, on our best day, in our best behavior, you and I on our best day and on our best behavior could never, ever do anything to afford or to qualify and have enough brownie points to earn salvation and redemption. It was a gift through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ Jesus. The Bible says to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 to 4. I'm reading from the New International Version. For what I received, I pass on to you. This is Paul speaking to the church at Corinth. What I received, this salvation, this revelation of who God is, this freedom, this liberty, what I received, I pass on to you. I taught it. I shared it with you. I pass on to you as of first importance. Now, this is what the gospel is, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. This scripture alone is the gospel. This scripture alone is good news. This scripture alone is liberating. Christ died for our sins, past, present, future, and he rose again, amen, on the third day. And he is alive, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. Glory! Glory! So ladies and gentlemen, if any man or woman alive comes and tells you otherwise, they're a liar, and they preach to you what we call another gospel. If any man or woman alive, pastor, teacher, apostle, appointee, pope of the pope of the, you name it, they've got as many addendums as I don't know. If they come and they tell you that you need to sow a seed of 500 pounds to receive redemption and salvation, then they're a liar and they preach to you another gospel. If any man tells you or woman tells you that to prosper, you need to sow into their ministry, my ministry gift, sow into my gift, and then whenever I'm blessed, you will be blessed as well. You know what? They're a liar and they preach to you another gospel. Come on, I'm talking about identity. When you know who you are in Christ and you know your identity, they will not pull the wool over your eyes. They will not hoodwink you, because that is the problem in the body of Christ today, where people do not know the scriptures. They do not know who they are, whose they are. They do not know that they were purchased by the blood of Jesus. They do not know their worth, and so we go with anything. You give me 500 pounds and you expect to be healed. You expect to have your baby in your womb. You expect to get married. That's another gospel. And it's a lie. And you know what? We've lost the righteous indignation in our generation. We've lost it. Because now we are very, you know, we're very, you know, we don't want to offend each other. So I've come here, so maybe, you know, let me just, I don't want to step on anyone's toes, but this is the gospel. And God is able to defend himself. Amen. Hallelujah. If any man or woman alive tells you that for you to prosper, you need to sow into their ministry, they're a liar and they preach to you another gospel, making a mockery of Jesus' death on the cross. They are suggesting that what Jesus did for you and me was insufficient. If they tell you that you need to buy olive oil, and you need to have Ribena, and you need to have a special cloth, and you need to have a special sour, and you need to, they're lying. They're liars, and they preach to you another gospel. If any man or woman alive today, I don't care how popular, how famous they are, I don't care if they're called bishop so-and-so, prophetess so-and-so, if they tell you that to get married, to be healed of barrenness, to be truly forgiven, you need to sow a seed for your breakthrough into them, they're a liar, and they preach to you another gospel. Listen to what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. This is the gospel, saints. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. He says, let God's curse fall. I'm reading in the New Living Translation. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including us. This is Paul speaking. The people who are teaching. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including us, including me, Sarah Garande, today. Or even, including us, or even an angel from heaven. Let God's curse fall on us, or even on an angel from heaven who preaches a different kind of gospel, a different kind of good news, another gospel. These are the different translations. Then the one we preach to you, I say again that what we said before, if anyone preaches any other news than the one you welcomed, let that person be accursed. The Greek word for that is anathema. Let them be thrown out accursed. The Message Bible says the same scripture, Galatians 1 verses 8 and 9. The Message Bible, I like the Message because sometimes it breaks it down into modern parlance, especially for a lot of our younger generation who have not grown up on the King James like some of us, and you know the that old English. So Paul says to them in Galatians, I can't believe your fickleness. How easily you have turned traitor to him who called you by the grace of Christ by embracing a variant message. Sow 1,000 pounds into me and you'll be blessed. If you want a BMW, sow 10,000 pounds. Don't sow 10,000 pounds into me for the B. Why don't you just go to BMW dealer? I can't believe your fickleness, how easily you have turned traitor to him who called you by the grace of Christ by embracing a variant message. It is not a minor variation. You know, it is completely other, an alien message, a no message, a none message, another gospel, a lie about God. Those who are provoking this agitation among you, amongst the body of Christ globally, those who are agitating and provoking this gospel, this message among you, are turning the message of Christ on its head. Let me be blunt. If one of us, even an angel from heaven, were to preach something other than what we preached to you originally, let him be cursed. I said it once, I'll say it again. If anyone, regardless of reputation or credentials, preaches something other than what you received originally, let him be accursed. If I'm coming here and instead of getting you to go into the Word of God that has got liberty, that has got peace, that has got healing, that has got financial breakthrough, that will give you the wisdom to pray for that job, and I tell you, no, today we're reading out of my book instead of the book, they preach to you another gospel. Another gospel is subtle, saints. It makes the Word of God appear insufficient, and it makes you believe there is still more to do. Those brownie points, you still need to earn brownie points for you to receive His love. Circumstantial messages that fit and suit our temporary afflictions. How many of you know that when you don't have the depth of the Word that you were talking about, when you don't have you don't understand the historical background and the meaning of the Scripture, we can take any Scripture and make it fit anything. Do you know that a man can take 10 wives and find it in the Scripture somewhere and make it fit? After all, the patriarchs, they had many wives. After all, you know, Father Abraham didn't have just one. He had a concubine. Look at Solomon. You look at Solomon. He had, you know, 1,000 wives and 300 concubines, 700 wives and 300 concubines. You can take this thing, if you read it without revelation, without wisdom, without understanding, and you can make it, you know, cut it to fit your cloth. But if your cloth is not the gospel and the truth of salvation that brings liberty and freedom, Galatians 5:1, it was for freedom that Christ set you free. Amen. Then it is another gospel. Amen. 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 How many of you know of times that probably you've listened to another gospel? Maybe there's a few of us. I've run with another gospel until I found the truth in the Word of God and realized that, oh my goodness, I was being had. I was being had. And this erroneous doctrine was making me go round and round and round until you're so stuck, you know. You've gone round that thing so many times. You've managed to loop yourself and get yourself entangled, and you've got a leg and an arm sticking out, and you're stuck. Galatians 2:20. The Scriptures are not my message, ladies and gentlemen. They're His message. You and I do not bend His Word to fit our situation. Rather, you and I bend to fit Christ and His truth. Some of the things that this Word tells us to do and some of the things that it tells us to leave and to not do are difficult. Because how many of you know that if you've got certain habits and traits that you have, maybe your mother's mother and your grandmother and your fathers and everyone, they did it. You think, come on, everyone in my family has done it. But if it does not line up with the Word of God, it will derail you. And you will not live in the fullness of everything that Christ has done for you and I. The Bible says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer you and I who live, saints, but Christ who lives in us. And the life that you and I live here today, sat here, we now live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness came through the law, then Christ died in vain. Saints, you and I have got to come to a revelation of the Word. You've got to find yourself in the Scriptures. What I love about the epistles, you know, and the New Testament is a new covenant. The Old Testament was written, the whole Bible points to Jesus. The whole Bible speaks of Jesus. You find Him in the tapestry of the entire Scripture. But you've got to understand that in the Old Testament, this was to the children of Israel and to the Jews. And then you and I were engrafted. We didn't even belong. We were not even a part of the story. And then God thought, you know what? Not without these guys. You and I were engrafted. We were adopted into sonship. So if you're living under the law, under the Old Testament, it's like having a will. Something that my husband and I were doing this week, we were updating our will. What happens when you update your will is that the old will that you wrote 10, 15, 20 years, it's no longer valid. Yes, ma'am. So the minute you write a new will and you are my witnesses and you both sign, then it makes it null and void. So you've got to understand what happened with the Old Testament. The Old Testament, yes, everything points to Jesus. It spoke of Jesus. But when Jesus finally came, you cannot be trying to burn a bull on the brazen altar today when Jesus Christ died for you. You cannot be trying to find some doves and some dung and whatever it says to do because Jesus Christ came and did everything. When the middle wall of partition was rent when he died and he said, it is finished. He says, you have been translated out of darkness and you have come into the kingdom of my dear son Jesus. As long as you do not know who you are in Christ, you will always be living under the old will and under the old covenant. Yet a new will has been written and a new covenant has been written, which says he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Which says that you are loved. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you right through to the end of the age. The one that says, I loved you in your sin, in your blood, in your filth. I loved you. Jesus didn't die for us when we were looking all nice and prim and proper and we were no longer that naughty schoolgirl. When I was that rogue child, he loved me. But when I came into my identity as a son of God, you know what? You can't remind me of that. A few years ago, I met someone who was a couple of years ahead of me at high school. And she then stopped and she decided to tell me, you were this, you were this, you were this, you were notorious, you were this, you were this, you were this. And I just stood there with a smile on my face. I didn't even get offended. Because when you know who you are, you don't get offended. You can't. You can't offend someone who knows who they are in Christ. You can't offend someone whose substance and gravitas is grounded in Christ Jesus. I waited for her to speak and she had a friend and was like, oh, this girl, oh, and told her the whole gory details. And when it was my turn to speak, I said, that Sarah you knew died.
Amen.
Behold, we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away and the new. Amen. The Bible says that when you and I repent and we pray, what happens when we confess our sins before God? The Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But also it says in another scripture that he takes our sin and casts it into the sea of forgetfulness. So if you have been saying your prayers at night and you fall asleep with your Bible in your arms and you wake up and the first thing you're doing is you're repenting, God is like, huh? What are you repenting of? What did you do in the 8 hours that you were asleep? If you repented before you fell asleep, why are you repenting again? When we don't know who we are in Christ Jesus. It's just like when I've got children. My little boy is Zach. If Zach messes up and he says, Mommy, I'm really sorry. Daddy, I'm really sorry. He's got tears in his eyes. I can see he means it from his heart. He's learned his lesson. Good night, Zachy. You're forgiven. We love you. In the morning, should he come again and say, Mommy, I'm really sorry for what I did? It's gone. So if we who are evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more our Heavenly Father? Ladies, if you're in this place and you're not walking in the fullness of your destiny and maximizing your purpose and being that great woman of substance and being a breath of fresh air and an aroma of life in the remit wherever God has called you to be, actually it's because you don't know who you are. Grab an identity of who you are. This word is able to reveal you to yourself. It is able, it's like a mirror. You come face to face with who God says you are and not what they say. It's not what you were told. It's not what was done to you. And some of the things that were done and said to us were really bad. Were really evil. But you've got to, that's why you've got to take the word and say, the word of God says, I'm loved. I'm sanctified. I'm set free. I was foreknown by the Father. Foreordained before he formed the foundations of the earth. I was already on his mind. And he already had, you know, that I would live in Bedfordshire. That I would go to this beautiful church. That I would make a mark in my area. You've got to let go of the past. And buy what this new will is telling you. Because the new will is the truth. Everything else that went on before is not true. It's not true. It's not true. So as I go in for a close. Ladies, can we no longer be shrinking violets? And if you've messed up, it's okay too. You wake up and you repent before God. You go and you make amends. Because how many of you know there's some messing up that we do? You can't just pray in your room by your cute pillow. You've got to actually go and say, you know what, sister? I am so sorry. It takes a bigger man to do that. But how many of you know, as long as you don't do that, it eats and corrodes your conscience. You can't even walk into church confidently. Your shoulders, because I'm a psychologist, and so I study body language. I can tell sometimes, you know, when just by someone's body language, it's the way that they're holding their hands. I can tell, you know, sometimes you go and I come to say I'm sorry. Actually, you're crossing your arms. I come to say I'm really sorry, and you're like, okay, already it's an aggressive posture, and you're saying, you know what, come no closer. You know, come no closer. Okay, fine. Yeah, okay, you apologize. You know, so there's some things, guys, that we've got to learn to be the bigger man and go and make amends. We're children of God. We're sons of God. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Sometimes the things that stop and hinder us from walking in that grace and that substance and doing these great things is because we think we will be caught out. And we think that we will be found out. And we disqualify ourselves because of things that we've done in the past. But you and I, just the way you are, we are awesome in the eyes of God. You and I, just the way we are beautiful in the eyes of God. We're so unique. No same fingerprint. No same iris. No same voice, you know, tone. Nothing. We are so unique and so precious. That's just how God made us to be. You've got to come to a place where you accept who you are. Sometimes we don't walk in substance and in gravitas, and we don't be people of grace and do great things because we're struggling with self-esteem. We're struggling with confidence issues. We're struggling with deep scars and wounds. You were told that, you know what, you're not good enough. No man will ever marry you. And I was told that when I was a youngster. And for the longest time, I believed that. Not until I came to an understanding of the word of God. I look at the same people who told me that, you know, they'll marry you and then they'll send you back again. And when they discover you're not good enough, I smile now because I know who I am and whose I am in Christ Jesus. So we've got to use the word of God to flesh out and to renew and cleanse our minds. If you go back into those same areas, because there's some areas that are unavoidable, like family members, and you keep on keeping a record of the things that were done, you cannot move on. What you have done with whatever your issues are, you've literally put a rope on a stick, stuck it into the ground, tethered yourself. You can only go so far. You can never break out. You can never fully become who you know you're called to be. You can never speak with boldness. You can never speak with courage. Because you know what? You're being held back by things that have no business holding you back. If you and I were meant to remain in the same place, we would be trees. But God created us. We're like the wind. You can't tell where it comes from or where it goes. God created us and released us to go into all the ends of the earth and be a fragrance of life and light. He released us into all the ends of the earth that we would be glory carriers. He released us into all the ends of the earth that we should be a difference maker. He released us into all the ends of the earth that we should make a mark on our generation. We are glory carriers. We carry the glory, the glory, the glory, the weight of God, the power of God, the anointing of God. We carry it on the inside of us. The Bible says that as He is, so are we. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4 and 7, but you and I, we have this precious treasure. The good news about salvation in earthen vessels of human frailty, so that the grandeur and surpassing greatness of the power will be shown to be from God, and that we will know that His sufficiency is not of ourselves, but it's of God. We carry the power of God in jars of clay. We have to go out there and make a mark on our generation. We have to go out there, and whether it's trading in purple or making the right, she invests. You know, when we read Proverbs, she invests, she does things. I told you, I know these people. It's not a single person. We each of us have these great qualities that God has placed on the inside of us, but we're not maximizing them. As I come to a close, there's a quote by Marianne Williamson that some of you may have heard of. It's from a book of hers called A Return to Love. And it says, our deepest fear, and this is a lot of us today, our deepest fear is not that we're inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we're powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? I ask you, actually, who are you not to be? You're a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We are born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in every single one of us. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we're liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates other people. Ladies and gentlemen, if we do not allow our light to shine and we hide it under a bushel, this little light of mine, come on now. What you do when you don't let your light shine, some of us are destiny helpers. When you don't let your light shine and you hide it under a bushel, they are orphans. They are generations and destinies that were meant to be impacted by you. But because you chose to hide your light because of whatever your issues are, whatever your circumstances, the circumstances surrounding your birth, whatever it is that you've been fired, that you've been unable to find employment for the longest time, and you begin to identify yourself by your issues. Don't you know that the Word of God says that in this world there will be trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. When you find your identity in Christ Jesus, no matter what it is that you're going through today, you're able to say, you know what, devil, you picked a fight with the wrong one. I know who I am. You want to go to war with me? Me and God? God and I? Sorry, grandma, mom. God and I? We're a majority. I don't need 10 friends with me. Just me and God. We're a majority. So ladies, when you go home, gentlemen, in your issues, whatever it is, you wage a holy war against anything that is terrorizing you, against anything that is hindering you from manifesting the glory of God in this earth, against anything you start a business, it never goes beyond. Come on now. We cannot give up. We cannot quit. Remember, we're palm trees. We will have the vicissitudes and the winds and the tornadoes and the storms and the tsunamis and the deluge, everything. But we come back up and we keep standing. Don't give up. Don't give up. To that person in this place who thinks that you're irrelevant, who may be feeling suicidal, this is actually a really big thing in our generation today and in our society. Christ Jesus died for you. And whatever circumstances you're dealing with, I can give you my word through the Word of God. There is always a way. God will always provide a solution and a way out of the toughest situation. Are you homeless? Are you, what is it that you're dealing with? When the children of Israel were being pursued by Pharaoh, they had their backs to the Red Sea and they had the armies of Pharaoh coming after them. They had no way out. But God. God. I want to tell someone here today that God is making a way right now in your situation. He is causing streams and making paths in your wilderness. That God is going to open a Red Sea and cause the sea to stand at attention for you to pass through. That God will make a way and a route of escape for you where there seems to be no route. Where they say your kind, your type, your age, your color do not fit. God will cause you to stand in the palace. He'll cause you to stand in the halls of power. He'll send you right up to the highest office in the land. That is the thing that my God can do. He is the God of the turnaround. He is more than enough. He is sovereign God. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He is the King of glory. His name is Jesus. His name is Yeshua. He is Messiah, our deliverer, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the earth so that we would no longer have to live in our sins. It was for freedom that Christ set you free. Don't go back again to a yoke of bondage. You have been redeemed, bought out of slavery, never to be sold again. That's who you are. A woman of substance, a woman of grace. A man of substance and a man of grace. Bless you, saints. Thank you for this great honor. Amen.